HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 170, recorded live Thursday, July 2nd, 2009. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. And by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Nate Kahari.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And today I'm sitting down with Nate Kahari, who is starting up a company called Enkari Limited and around an agile project that's a Kanban system. Nate, thanks a lot for chatting with me today.
Thanks for having me on.
So I keep hearing people who are smarter than I saying Kanban systems, and it's such a kind of a funny sounding word from a point of view of an English speaker. It's a new way about thinking around agile, but more towards lean manufacturing principles. We had Mary Poppendick on a couple of months ago talking a little bit about applying lean to software systems. And I've been talking very, very briefly on Twitter with Kenji Hiranabe, who is a person who works with Kanban systems in the agile space. And you are so into this that you're going so far as to actually launch a product around Kanban systems. So why don't you explain to folks what Kanban, K-A-N-B-A-N, systems are and what they have to do with software?
Sure. Kanban originally comes from
Kanban.
You know,
so there
you production
go.
System.
Me saying Kanban.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it, is Kanban. But, you know, not being Japanese myself, I'm not really sure.
I apologize to all Japanese people. All right.
It originally comes from the Toyota production system, and really what Kanban means is just visual card. So it's just a way to create visibility for, you know, flow in a process. So when you apply it to software, typically what you get is a board, you know, that looks a lot like an agile, you know, storyboard that has cards on it that represent work items. And so, you know, as the work is completed or goes through phases, you move the card slowly across the board, and, you know, indicating process. Mm-hmm. And then first, the disclaimer, too. I'm not a lean expert. I'm not a Kanban expert. For me, it's just like a tool that's useful for our product. The goal with our product is not necessarily to create a Kanban system for the web, although it works that way. I was just frustrated with the complexity of and cost, too, of the existing solutions that were on the market. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, something for small teams, something that, you know, particularly for startups, maybe just for hobbyists too, but can also scale up to, you know, a medium or larger size team, I kind of felt was really lacking. A lot of user experience of the, you know, existing products, which is not really there, mm-hmm. Very difficult to use. And again, it kind of forced you down a certain road, you know, more the agile methodology, which requires iterations and things like that. So for us, you know, Kanban is just a way of, you know, managing a product or a project, you should say, in a very simple fashion. So what Zen lets you do is it actually creates, you know, this Kanban board on the web. And, you know, you can drag and drop your cards and move them through, you know, a phased process. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. Pretty common development process would be, you know, maybe design, develop, deploy. Okay. So particularly on the web, if you're working with, you know, a creative team, you've got graphic designers or something like that. So let's say you have some sort of feature that you want to implement. Mm-hmm. You drag that, you'd essentially create a story card, you know, that represents that work item.
And are these a lot like CRC cards that we're familiar with from the past?
Right, yeah. It's very similar to a story card. And in Kanban, it depends on the team. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a user story itself. I mean, you don't have to spell it out as, you know, as a user, I should be able to do X, Y, Z so I can, you know, A, B, C.
Okay.
we just call them story cards, again, for, you know, familiarity purposes. And, you know, of course, you can use them that way if you'd like. But so everything is based around, you know, this concept of work item or story card. So if my process is, you know, design, develop, deploy, I can create, you know, a backlog of items just like, you know, you're used to with the typical Agile process. And then when I'm ready, let's say I'm the program manager, project manager, I want to drag that story card into design, which tells my design team to go and work on it. Okay. Mm-hmm. When that's finished, they can mark it as ready. And so let's say I'm a developer now and I'm looking for something to work on.
Okay.
I would then move something that's ready into the development phase. Okay. And start working on it. So essentially you create this pull system, which is another important part of, you know, lean processes. Rather than pushing work, you know, through the process. So as a designer, I'm not going to tell a developer what to work on. A developer is going to, you know, pull something from the available work.
Right.
So the concept of Kanban is to create, again, visibility on what is ready and what is not, and who is working and who is not, that sort of thing.
So this is a lot like Scrum and the concept of that there's a backlog queue. Sure. Of a unit of work, except Scrum is very much a time-boxed iteration-style system, while Kanban is more of a flowing system that has no formal time-boxing, where a unit of work is the most important unit.
Exactly right. And the closest thing I would say it has to any sort of time-boxing would be what's called a minimally marketable feature, or MMF. Mm-hmm. And really, it's not. I wouldn't say it's a time-box at all. But it's a concept that it's really more like an epic, I guess, in Scrum, where you have a collection of stories that mm-hmm. represents something that will be part of the product, a feature. And okay. So the whole goal of Kanban is to try to focus on minimally marketable features and reduce your stories to be the same size. And then you really find that you don't need iterations anymore, and you don't need to create these synthetic time boxes. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you've been involved in a Scrum process, it always seems like, you know, you try to estimate everything. Everything's still based on estimates because you have to come up with, you know, the bag of items that you have to work on, you know, this time box. And estimation is inherently flawed in software. It's extremely difficult. I mean, there's, you know, been huge books written about it. And actually the McConnell book, Software Estimation, is basically just a big collection of things that you can try, you know, to try to estimate things. Mm-hmm. And the end of the book is basically like, we don't really know what works. Just try different things until you find something.
Okay, so let's reset for a second and just make sure that folks are following. So with a Kanban system, your backlog queue is filled with these MMFs, these minimum marketable features that are, you know, the items, the things that you need to be working on, and they sit in your backlog. Then developers pull them through a process of whether they're ready, working, or complete. They can mark them whether or not they're blocked or they need assistance, all of which sounds a lot like Scrum, except sure. It's not time-boxed. It's a continuous flow of work, and the stuff is pulled through the system. Now, when I had done Scrum, I'd use a tool called Version 1, and we had a pretty large backlog. It seemed like the system was designed for me to have a very large backlog, to have as many things as we could describe, almost like the getting things done style of to-do list management, where you have mm-hmm. all the things that you could ever want and you put them in the backlog. But when I read about Kanban on the web, it says to have a minimum amount of marketable features. They really want the queue not very large. Do you subscribe right. to that?
Yes, definitely. The fewer the better, because really the everything in Lean is all geared around reducing waste. So, and there's actually, I believe it's 7 different wastes that they prescribe as being, you know, counterproductive. And, okay. If you have, a lot of stuff in your backlog, or if you queue at all, I'm sure when you spoke with Mary Popinick, she talked about this also. The more queuing you do, and the longer things remain in the queue, the more waste they're actually developing. Because, let's say you define a user story, you know, in July, and it doesn't actually get worked on until, say, September. Well, in the meantime, you know, a lot of things have changed. You know, software's changed, you know, maybe the business has altered, you know, focus and shifted, you know, the goals and that sort of thing. And so all of that work that you spent originally to define that story is now wasted. And so you find that you have to redefine it. So by keeping your backlog as small as possible, you can avoid that kind of waste.
Where is that information stored about the what you ultimately want? I mean, if you have a vision for your application, where do you put those if not in the backlog?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny because one thing that they being, you know, kind of lean practitioners prescribe is that if something is important, it will continue to become, you know, present. It'll mm-hmm. keep coming back up. So rather than creating a catalog of all the things that you ever want to do, you know, with your product, you'll find that the important features, the things that your customers, your clients want most, will continue to reappear. So these MMFs that, you know, again, represent the real features of your product will continue to, you know, come back.
Okay.
The other thing that helps you avoid is creating unnecessary work. So rather than adding features that no one really is going to use or no one really cares about, it helps you focus on the things that people really care about. You know, rather than focusing on the 20%, it lets you focus on the 80%. And that's another large waste in, you know, again, in lean ideas, you know, unnecessary features.
Is the other thing in lean, because this kind of style of this Kanban style came from manufacturing, at Toyota, is it that the most efficient number of threads in any system is one, and that they were trying to avoid people multitasking? I mean, I believe that the understanding is that a team works on as few of these features as possible so as to maximize throughput and accomplish what they call one-piece flow.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's definitely true. And you can avoid, I mean, if you, you know, limit the amount of things that you're working on at a time, you can avoid feeling overwhelmed and you can avoid thrashing between tasks, because there's, you know, just like with a computer, you know, your brain has to swap out information in order to, you know, keep things straight. So if you're working on multiple tasks at the same time, you lose a lot of your potential, because you have to context switch. So if you can focus and just work on one thing at a time, you can avoid those context switches. And actually what, Kanban lets you do is, again, let's say you have those same phases, design, develop, deploy. You can actually set limits on the phases that, that you have on your board. So, you can restrict the amount of work that can be in that phase at any one point in time. So let's say you have two developers. You might set a limit of two on your development phase to force those developers to only work on one thing at a time. That's again a way to avoid, you know, creating these large queues of work that has to be done. Because again, talking about Scrum again, and not to berate Scrum or anything like that, because it's very useful. But at the beginning of an iteration, I might get, say, 10 user stories to work on, or 5 user stories to work on, depending on how large they are.
Right.
And so I have to then figure out what order I want to work on those in, you know, and I'm much more likely to thrash between them. Mm-hmm. And so with Kanban, rather than, you know, focusing on stacking up work and then burning it down, which is really what Scrum's all about, again, like you said, it's just a continuous sort of flow through the pipeline. And then, of course, the other thing along with that is a stop the line sort of culture, which is, you know, if something goes wrong with a task, particularly if you have limits on your phases, if something blocks that task, you actually, then everyone should focus on fixing that, you know, and if there's additional labor that has to be applied to it, you know, you need help from other sources, everybody should focus on fixing that task. So with Zen, you can actually, you know, mark each individual story card as ready and blocked, and you can give a reason why. Not only that, but we have a messaging system, too, that fires out emails and IMs and, you know, keeps people apprised of what's going on with the story. So if you see that, you know, something's gone wrong, you can proactively, you know, respond to it.
Do you know how to make the possible out of the impossible? Well, the .NET ninjas at Telerik do. They just released a huge pack of web controls all built on top of ASP.NET Ajax. that'll help you build impossibly fast and interactive applications in no time at all. They've made the impossible possible in desktop development. If you think you can't have a carousel component in WinForms, well, you can. Their Windows Forms suite features a super powerful grid view control and 32 other crazy desktop components that'll give you dazzling WPF-like features, but in WinForms. They do the same thing in reporting solutions with a new design surface like nothing else. Looks just like graph paper, gives you advanced page layout capabilities, makes it feel more like a graphic design software than a reporting solution. Go check them out at Telerik.com and be a .NET Ninja. And thanks for listening. Now, with Scrum Tools, and I use version 1 only as an example, not to pick on them, but because that's the application that I used for a very long time, mm-hmm. they have a lot of additional metadata that can be attached to a task so that you can see your velocity, see burn down charts that show, you know, the average speed for a backlog item. There's a lot of, on its face, it is a pretty simple application. Version 1 has a lot of depth and richness to it in the sense that it's got so many bits of metadata that you can apply. I've been playing around with your product called Zen, and I must say it's ballsy to call your product Zen. I wonder how you're going to be able to Google for it. how are you...
Right.
It's such a simple, you know, frankly Zen-like interface, but you still have charts and graphs for performance. How do you keep track of things like lead time and cycle time when the board is really just little cards with little bits of text on it?
Right. We keep track of the timestamp, you know, whenever anything happens to a story. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when it's created, when it's moved, you know, onto the board, when it's moved off to the board. And so, you know, it's pretty easy to track things like lead time, cycle time, and work time, which is what we call. So I guess for people listening, if they're not familiar with the different metrics in Lean, lead time is the amount of time between when you create a work item or a story and when you start working on it. So that's the amount of time that the business knows that it's going to take, you know, the engineering team to start working on it. Then cycle time is the amount of time between when it's created and when it's completed. So that would be, you know, the amount of lead time then plus how long it actually, you know, takes to work on. And then we call work time is the amount of time that the story is actually in process, so on your board. And again, we just track, you know, timestamps between those. We actually have another thing called wait time, which is the amount of time that you spend during handoffs. So again, one of the things that you want to limit, one of the wastes is handoffs. So the amount of time that it takes. So let's say a designer marks something as ready. How long does it take before a developer claims it and pulls it into the development phase? You know, again, the faster the better. So that the sum total of that represents your wait time, the amount of, you know, essentially wasted time that that story spent idle on your board. And then we have a final metric called efficiency, which is just a calculation that uses the other metrics and gives you just a basic percentage. And the idea is to try to optimize that efficiency as much as possible. But, I mean, we really just focus on the very core metrics that you need in order to understand what's going on with your system. And if people are used to a, you know, more Scrum sort of agile process, things like velocity is very similar to your cycle time. You know, again, without the stack up and burn down kind of effect, it's calculated in a little bit different way, but you can treat it the same way. And of course, the whole goal of a lean process is to get your cycle time, again, of course, as small as short as possible, I should say, but also consistent. So the business can rely on it then as a, you know, they know when they have a request, it will take about this long to complete. So if your cycle time is 7 working days, you know, the mm-hmm. businesses understand, you know, that when they come and ask someone to do it, it's going to take about 7 days.
Okay.
And that's how you can avoid the iteration, see, because you still have that sort of service level agreement with your business, you know, that if they ask you for something, you know, they'll get it in a certain amount of time.
That does require some discipline, though. The nice thing
Absolutely.
About Scrum for someone who's new to Agile is that because it's time boxed, when you're done, you have to stop. I mean, there's Scrum masters who are good tend to be fairly draconian about the fact that we need to finish now. The end of the iteration is now. well with something that's more feature driven, that sense of closure, I think, would be harder to get.
That's probably true, and I guess the key there is the MMF, you know, the minimally marketable feature. That really represents, you know, a batch of work that you can kind of celebrate that you've completed. There's also a concept called Scrumbon, which is kind of a hybrid approach, which a lot of teams will use, you know, particularly if they've already used Scrum and they want to move towards a more lean process. They'll use something like Scrumbon, which keeps things like iterations and estimates, but also applies, you know, the concept of the Kanban board and a pull approach, which is really the whole key to lean is the pull. It's not so much the Kanban.
I don't know about that. I think that I think it was Brad Wilson invented. I think he was the guy that said Scrummerfall, when you think you're doing Scrum, but you're really just doing Waterfall. It seems like Scrumbon sounds like an excuse to be lazy, but you get to have a cool board.
Yeah, it can be. I imagine that a lot of teams will, you know, go through that. But, you know, it realistically, you know, there has to be a way that you can get buy-in from people, I think. And, you know, Scrumbon gives you all of those nice familiar elements from, you know, your Scrum process if you've been successful with that. But it allows you to focus on, you know, reduction of waste and you know, things like that that are important in lean.
In your application, one item, one little card on the board, is that one story or one minimally marketable feature, or is that the same thing?
That's for our application, it's story. So again, we call it story just for familiarity sake. Like I was saying, it really is just a work item, and it can be anything that the project owner wants. So if you know you want to implement that as a task, then that's fine. If you want to implement it as a user story that then has a collection of tasks, then that's also okay. But the unit of work that moves across the board, you know, is, again, constant in that project. So typically, I mean, we use it, of course, for, you know, development of Zen. We, you know, dog-fooded it. And usually it comes more towards a story rather than an MMF or a task, you know. So, and then there's a grouping of stories would represent an MMF. And Zen supports tagging, too, and coloring for the different cards. So an easy way to define an MMF is to create, you know, colors or add a tag that describes the MMF and then group your story cards that way, you know, keep them organized.
Effectively kind of drawing a dotted line around them, and they're associated by their tag or associated by their color.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I guess the goal with Zen is, again, to create something that's really simple and really flexible and doesn't force you down any specific path. And so you'll see a lot of features like that are left open-ended without maybe prescribing some guidance, but not necessarily restricting and forcing you to do any certain thing. For example, estimates. There's a concept called size in Zen for story cards, but it's freeform. If you want to call it small, medium, large, do t-shirt sizing, that's great. If you want to do story points, that's great. Hours, that's fine too. If you want to leave it out completely because you don't estimate, then that's okay also. So one of the things that I found when I was trying to use some of the older or existing, you know, products is that they all kind of force the so-called best practices of Agile, you know, on you. But if you're just a small team, you might not want to adopt all of those different, you know, Agile processes all at once, or you might want to do it slowly, or you might find that you find different ways to work. Because again, the whole concept of lean is Kaizen, you know, continuous improvement, which of course is where the name Zen comes from. But, so that's one of the reasons why I felt that something like Zen was really lacking, you know, in the marketplace. I mean, there's a need for it because, you know, as a small team, you want to be able to bring those things in as you need them and get rid of them as you need them, and it needs to be more adaptable. And I just really didn't feel like a lot of the existing tools were set up to allow you to do that.
I've created a little project, and I'm kind of poking around in your application, and I'm wondering how, you know, with things that that demo well, and I don't just mean your the Zen product, but Kanban in a system where things were dependent on each other, like mm-hmm. like in manufacturing, you could say, well, you know, putting the engine together is not the same as putting the dashboard together, and those two things can happen independently, but so often this can't happen until that happens, and there's these kind of intricate interdependencies between features. How do you deal with that in a Kanban system?
Typically, it's just handled in terms of priority, and dependencies are going to happen. You know, it's something that you should try to minimize in general. So I would say, the way I've always done it, at least, is to just prioritize the features that had to be completed first, or I should say, you know, stories or tasks that had to be completed first, over the ones that weren't. So it's not any kind of situation, at least today, where Zen can track hierarchy or dependencies. It's really, again, a lot of this stuff is left as an exercise to the user, and it's done purposefully so you can, you know, manipulate it in the way that you feel most comfortable with working with it. So, for example, Zen allows you to move cards up and down, you know, in the phases and also in your backlog. So, one of the possible things that you can do with that is to prioritize. That's the way we've used it, at least during development, is, you know, again, higher priority cards will move to the top. So then you find that you are continually reorganizing the cards, you know, to, you know, prepare for the next, story that you have to work on. And then it's as easy as just pulling something off the top of the backlog.
So this is a very Zen kind of thing. I mean, it might seem cheesy to the listeners, but I'm thinking about all the different systems I've made in the past, and you know, one might just want to right click and hit properties and put in priority, but there's so many things that are positional or implicit. You're just saying that if you want the things on the top to be most important, then good for you. Use it how it makes you happy. Is what
right.
I'm hearing you say.
Exactly.
And is that representative of your product or of the Kanban philosophy, or a little of both?
I would probably say a little bit of both. I think that there's a lot of anytime you try to boil a philosophy or a methodology down into a tool, you always end up trying to create all of the different possibilities. And I've actually spoken with a couple of Kanban experts that actually go and coach, you know, to try to get teams to adopt Kanban. And typically they want features like, hierarchy and columns and, you know, things like that, and things that are very complex. And probably if you have a very, mature Kanban process, you would want to use some of those things. But I don't see those as being necessary for Zen, because again, with the whole concept of Zen is to be as simple as possible. So you can just sit down and use the tool without any real manual, without any training or anything like that, at least in terms of using the software. The training that we want to try to help people with is trying to get organizational change and get lean ideas into their team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say, to answer your question, yeah, it's a little bit of both, but you know, it's something that was very important to me when I was working on Zen, is to make it, again, as flexible as possible and not make people work the way I think they should work.
Have you had any practitioners that are like, you know, look at your product and kind of review it for its Kanban-ness?
Yeah, I actually have a couple of people that, like I said, that are more Kanban coach sort of people using it and giving us feedback and that sort of thing. But again, I don't want to put too much focus, honestly, on Kanban, because for us, Kanban is just a way to create that simple tool. You know, it's not,
right.
It's really not the end all be all that I think some other people might, you know, profess that it is. It's something that can be a useful tool for, you know, again, small teams, particularly, you know, but if something is not exactly Kanban-y, you know, in Zen, that's
right.
Not really, you know, for me, I don't really care, to be honest with you.
Which is in itself a very Zen attitude.
Right, exactly.
All right.
Yeah,
cool.
The word Zen actually comes from Kaizen, you know, the continuous improvement concept in Lean. So, and agilezen.com is the site. So I'm sure I'll get some people complaining because Agile is not lean and so forth.
Folks will be able to see the product at agilezen.com. It'll be launching on the 7th?
Yep, that's right. And if they hit the site in advance, we've got a mailing list that they can sign up for. And we're, of course, going to send out little coupon codes and other, you know, sort of little secrets on the mailing list. So if they want to sign up for that, for updates.
All right. Fantastic. Well, my guest has been Nate Kohari, and the product is Agile Zen. And then for those of you who want to learn more about Kanban, use your favorite search engine. Or actually, the article that I found the most useful was my friend James Shore. JamesShore.com has got an interesting blog about Kanban systems. And then within that, he links off to the Poppendix work, Arlo Belshi, and also Kenji Hiranabe. Thanks a lot, Nate. I really appreciate you chatting with me today.
Sure. I appreciate you having me on.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'll see you again next week.